Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
I remember, thank you, it is an accomplishment. I remember when I first got married and they wanted me to teach on marriage and I was like, nobody want to hear what I have to say, like... But now I feel like, you know what? We have lived some life. We have three kids. We've been through a lot of highs and a lot of lows, a lot of fights and a lot of non-fights, a lot of don't do that again moments. And I'm going to handle that a different way next time moments, you know. And I have to say, the beauty of marriage is doing life together and changing in every season. And so I am watching my parents cautiously, like, okay, what are they doing right now? And they are so cute. They just got back from a 5-week motorhome trip. Who would have thought Pastor Jim would have been at a KOA? And I was like, what? And they had so much fun together. They came out and were like, we are so in love. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Like, they didn't kill each other. And so I am like talking to them and they're just like back like kids again, all gooky over each other and everything. And I'm just like, awesome. So when life gets bad, go on a motorhome trip, all right? So like, or when you don't like that person, you make yourself be stuck with them. So no, they are just in love with each other. My grandma is almost on her last breath, almost. And so we're like on wait right now. And so my mom flew up there. She had just gotten back and then she flew right back up to go be with my grandma. And so we are on wait. And but in the meantime, Pastor Jim preached last night a really great message. If you weren't here, go back and get it. It was fresh. It was good. It was a word from the Lord. And so I believe God has something for us today. So can we just pray and get into the presence of God? Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in us. Lord, we thank you for your plan of marriage, God. Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would teach us, that you would equip us as your women of the Most High God. And Lord, that you would fill us. And Lord, I ask that you would speak through me, that you would wear me well, that the oracles of God would flow. And Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive as you minister the word today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. I wanted to open up with just a quote that I thought was a beautiful thing. Martin Luther said, let the wife make the husband glad to come home and let him make her sorry to see him leave. I believe this is the picture of what God wanted marriage to be. And so many times in our world, we see nasty marriages. You've maybe been through some nasty marriages. You've had a hard time in life and you've never really seen a good example of what marriage can be. But if you look around hard enough, I believe God sends people in your life that will actually display a good marriage in front of you. For instance, in our church that we've been here like over 31 years, Pastor Jim and Deborah had a beautiful marriage. They fought really good, but they made up really good and they showed us how to do it, right? And they were in love with each other and they taught us those things. You can look to Dan and I, because I'm telling you, I am in love with that man. That man can do no wrong in my eyes. And when he does, I forgive him quickly and I move past it. Now me, he just is so kind that he will just take care of me. He just takes care of me. He loves me. He cherishes me. And so if you have never seen that, check us out. And that's one thing I can say is check us out, because we are here to be living examples of what the Word of God says. We live a life that we know is a fishbowl. We live a life that we know we are who we are at home, who we are here. And I want you to know that marriage works. And let me tell you why, because we put God in the center of our marriage. Because we live according to this daily, that when we get off, guess what happens? We get back on the word and we go, okay, we messed that up. Things aren't flowing right in our home. What's going on? And we sit down together and we're like, we're not doing what the word says. And we have to get ourselves back in alignment. We have to ask the Lord to help us fall back in love with each other because we're irritated with each other. These are very normal things, but sometimes I think the world or even Christians in the house of God don't think about, oh, I need to talk to God about this. I'm feeling this way, but I'm not bringing God into it. And God is saying, I have a plan for marriage. Marriage is a picture of me and my church. It is a relationship that is a beautiful thing. It's a covenant, as Dr. V talked about. I'm so glad she explained that last week, because if you did not get it, please go back. She explained how the covenant is, and it's a beautiful bond between two people that cannot be broken. And when it does, in a circumstance like divorce, why it hurts so bad and why it's so hard is because you're ripping apart a covenant. And no one wins in a situation like that. It's painful. It's hard. It's devastating for everybody that's involved. And even the people that aren't directly involved, it affects everyone. Because your world around you is celebrating you. They're encouraging you. They showed up to your wedding and they said, yes, I agree. And I will be there. I remember we had friends. We were in our 20s. And our friends came to us and said, we're getting divorced. And we were in their wedding. And we were like, hold on, we have a job here. Like, we were like, snap, we are going to our job. No, you're not getting divorced. Let's talk about this. And they made up their minds. They didn't let us speak into their lives. They moved on. And then they were very broken for a very, very long time. Now the Lord healed, restored, and gave them both a different spouse. And they're married, and they're successful, and they're doing well. But I just remember feeling like I had a responsibility because I stood there and I was a witness before God that they were joining in a covenant and that I had a piece in it. And it broke our heart as much as it broke everyone else's heart. That's not the plan of God. Those things do happen, but God doesn't want us to be separated from him. God came for us. He loved us. He doesn't want the bond of him and his daughter to be broken or ripped apart. But the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. There's little wedges. There's little parts to our hearts that if we allow those creases in our hearts or those cracks in our hearts to get bigger and bigger and bigger because they're points of bitterness, unforgiveness, shame, rage, malice, and you just all of a sudden you're keeping records of wrong about your husband, or you're keeping records of wrong about God. Because see, our marriage isn't just about us. Our marriage is about our King, the one we serve. And even though we love him so many times, we can find ourselves upset with God because maybe he didn't answer a prayer when he was supposed to. Or why weren't you there when this happened? Why didn't you do something when you could have done something? And we do this to each other in relationships, but yet I believe we as a church do this to God. And God is saying, I need you to understand who I am and who you are. I don't have to explain everything to you. You need to just trust my authority, trust my way, rely and relax in who I am. And if I don't show up the way you want me to, it doesn't mean I'm not still God. And doesn't mean I'm not still on the scene and I'm not still working. Because I know what's best for you, daughter. And you see, God is saying, here I am. I don't do things your way, but I am the head of the body of Christ. I am the Father. I'm the one who made the heavens and the earth. I'm the one that knew you in your mother's womb before she even knew you were there. You see, this is who God is. And God is saying, marriage is a picture of me and my church. So when we understand the depth of who God is, we can begin to allow our hearts to heal towards the things of God, the disappointments, the things that we thought that we put on God. But I believe in marriage, we do the same thing. You know, maybe you're that girl that's like, Dr. V talked about it, like, he better, you know, make a date with me. And I don't want to plan the date. He better have all things in order so that I could tell my girlfriends about it, right? But sometimes the poor guy is like, wait, I didn't even know that was in your head. Like, can you tell me what you need? So when Dan and I got married, he came from just like a family that just totally loved each other. But he did not know, like, I saw my dad like go way out of his way for my mom, but it was very different in their family. And so Dan said to me, he said, you want me to celebrate Mother's Day? You're not my mother. And I'm like, oh, this marriage is not going to go well. Because these little babies can't do anything, like, except for take, take, take. So you have to, you know, like, and he says, well, what do you need from me? And it began to be a very healthy conversation. So then we started talking about birthdays and expectations of birthdays. And what are expectations of, like, a date night? I used to get so mad at him because in my mind, I had something in my head of how it should be. And then I was always disappointed. Right? And then I started justifying it in my heart, like, well, no expectations, no disappointments. And Dan was like, thanks for setting me up for failure. Like, I'm never going to win. I don't know what's in your head. And so we finally sat down and I was like, let me tell you what I would like in our marriage. And he goes, thank you. So you know what I started doing? I started reminding him, hey, FYI, anniversary's coming up. Think of something. Like, And then, hey, like this ring. Maybe you could, like, check it out. Like, here's the website. And, I mean, that is the way my husband works. And then I got my eyes off how he works, and I started seeing other men who weren't this way. They just naturally bought their wives a gazillion, bazillion things. And their wives are, like, drenched in all of this goodness and all this stuff. And I'm just like, ugh. And then Dan's like, this sucks. You're looking over there and not looking at me. And I was like, ooh, I'm so sorry. You know, and it really was something we had to work through in our marriage. This is when we were younger. And so you can always look at the other side and say, the grass is greener over there. But I'm here to tell you, it's just as dark over there as it is here. They just got their other issues that you don't got, all right? And so know that the one that you have connected with, the one that loves you, is something you are going to have to work hard at because it's an ordained thing by God. You see, I don't compare God to other gods, right? No way. But yet, why do I allow that in my marriage? And God is saying, if you understand the relationship that I have with my church, then you're going to have a different view on your marriage with you and your husband. And you're going to understand that you both give and take and you both learn how to do life together. And it may look different than everybody else's marriage, but if I'm in the center of it, it's a beautiful thing because God believes in marriage. Isn't that good? Thank God. So now, you know, in our almost 40s, we're like, we know what works for us. We're happy, you know, and it's just so, there's a freedom in that. And don't waste time. If you are young and married, like you just got married, go have these conversations. If things are disappointing you, or if you're kind of like, I wish that he would have done this, well, quit thinking it and go tell him. Because men are very simple creatures, and they cannot read your mind. And they do not know the passive aggressive ways that you are trying to give signals as to what it is you need. So help them out, all right? Tell them what your needs are and then ask them what their needs are. Because that's what happens in marriage. It's not just take, 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 but it's give as well. And so that's what happens in a beautiful relationship. We're going to head into Ephesians because we're going line upon line, precept upon precept. And in Ephesians 5:26, we're going to go 5:26 through 29. And I'm going to read it out loud. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to her himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish, that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives, not someone else's, as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. I want to point something out kind of funny. Have you ever been around a man and seen how much they like looking at themselves in a mirror? I'm not kidding. I've not met one that doesn't. Doesn't matter what they look like. They look in a mirror and they hang out for a bit. And they do not have a problem with like blemishes. They don't have a problem with any of it. They're like, I look good. And they're confident in who they are. There might be parts of their body they don't like, but there is something about staring in a mirror. And it doesn't matter what shape or size they are. I have seen it all. And they will still, I watch them walk by the mirrors on the glass when I'm inside a classroom. And they just stare at themselves. Like half the maintenance guys are like, oh. And I'm inside the room going, mm-hmm, I see you. And they take longer sometimes to get ready than we do, right? But God is not telling the woman to love the man like she loves herself. Why is that? Because we could beat ourselves up, right? We are the hardest person on ourselves. Well, I'm not pretty enough. My hair isn't the right way. I don't like how my muffin top. I don't like this. I don't like that. Oh, I'm saggy here. How do I pick this up? And we beat ourselves up. So when we read this scripture, we're going, well, that's okay. I don't like myself anyway, so I don't have to like him. No. Men do take care of themselves. There's many times we as women have equated it. I've heard your conversations. They're a bit selfish. I read a story about this woman who got up in the middle of the night, and here she was rushing to her children who were throwing up. Both kids slept in the same bed, and they both were throwing up. She's cleaning throw up off of the baby because the other one threw up on the baby. The baby's like all drenched in it, and she's taking one to the bathtub, rinsing that off. Then she's cleaning the throw up off the floor. She gets it all done. She gets the sheets made. She gets everybody back to bed. She slips into bed, and her husband says, "Oh, what happened?" In those moments, you're like, what happened? You could have got up and helped me through that, but no, you just slept. How many, is Pastor Jess the only one that would get irritated in the middle of the night? We used to count minutes of how long we were up. Like the first two children, well, I was up 2.5 hours with the kids last night. Well, I was up 2.5 and 5 seconds longer than you were because we were so incredibly tired that one had to one-up the other, right? So finally, by the third child, we were like, we will not do this to each other. It does not matter. Let's just get it done. And so we worked it out. But you can bring these things into a marriage. But yet God is saying, those are not the way that I've asked you to do marriage. I've asked you to do marriage where a man loves his wife, where he takes care of her, where he lays down his life for her, because that's what I did for my church and the body of Christ when I went to the cross and I knew that you could not come to the throne room of God and be spotless and blameless before me. So I sent my son who was stripped open, bloody and a mess so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could approach my throne whenever you have sin in your life and you can receive forgiveness and receive healing. You see, because I did that is what I'm requiring of the husband for his wife. That's a big job. Some of you are sitting in this room going, I wish my husband knew this. Some of you are going, wow, my husband has really embraced this. He's really taken care of our family and gone out of the way for us and nourished us. And maybe in this message, we have to ask ourselves, have I done that in return? You see, I don't believe God is just saying one thing to one and another thing to another, but I believe we're to read this, that we both give in these ways. That when we love our husbands and we respect them, you see, men's language is respect. Our language is love. When I disrespect my husband, I don't get anything out of him. I get no game, nothing is happening around the house, and then we have to have long talks about how I said things a certain way or how when I did this, da, 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 and it's like, oh my goodness, I didn't even see it. I didn't see that I was disrespecting your position or your role or whatever. The other day, we had something going on in our home, and God spoke to my husband about a gift that my son wanted for his birthday, and we were going to get it for him. And we were all gung-ho. We're telling the whole family, okay, get this because we're going to get this for him for his birthday. And Dan's like, he's in study. And he calls me. He's like, we're not getting it. And I'm like, do you realize how like brokenhearted he's going to be? Like, it's the only thing he wants. Like, he doesn't even want anything. He's like totally just a good kid. He's like, Jess, this isn't about me wanting to be a bad dad. This is about me hearing the voice of God. Because if we get this, it's going to do something to his heart and take him away from God. And he is already becoming obsessed. And I need him to not become, let this be what speaks into his heart, but I need the word of God to be free to speak into his heart and his life. And I have to be obedient to the voice. I said, I'm with you then. I'm on it. So I'm prepping my son because he's not good with change. So I'm like, hey, listen, bud. So like right now, you know, this is what's going on, and we're going to just delay this, and when God releases us, we'll go ahead and do it, but just, do you trust God? Well, yeah, I trust God, but I'm mad at Dad. You know, why would he do that? You know, this is da-da-da, and just so angry. And I thought, ooh, what's my role right now? Because I was a little frustrated, too, because I didn't have another plan. So I was like, what am I going to get him for his birthday? And it's like, tomorrow. And I'm sitting there, and I heard the Holy Spirit go, this is your chance. This is your chance to back him up. And when you back him up, you back me. And I was like, yes, sir. And I said, listen, sometimes God will ask us to do something. And because your dad is the head of this house, we follow the head. And when he says something we don't like or irks our spirit man or we're frustrated, we don't agree with it, that's okay. Because it's our job to come under his mission. It's our job to trust that he's hearing the voice of God, and then God will take care of the rest. And all of a sudden my son stops and he goes, okay, Mom, I can get that. I get that. And I go, okay, so are you going to be nice to Dad when he gets home? And then Dan and him had a very long conversation and they went through it. And the next day, you know what he did? He came out of his room and he said, I'm so glad I'm not getting that dumb gift. I'm watching my friends. They're obsessed. This is very unhealthy. I don't want to be like that. And I'm like, good, buddy. I'm so proud of you. And he's like, Mom, it's cool. Like, maybe I could just get a basketball or, you know, and I'm just like, awesome. All right, we'll get you that. You know, and it was just such a really great lesson for our family. And I wanted to tell you that today, not because, oh, look at us or how great we are, but you know what we did? We chose to do what the word said. I could have done the opposite. I could have said, you know what, Dan, I'm taking the role here. We've already told him that we're doing this. I have to now go back to every family member and tell them, don't do this. Like, it's so annoying. I don't have time for this. But no, I was like, this is very inconvenient, but I'm going to back you in this. And I did. And I'll tell you, I have never seen my son so respectful, so at peace, and understand authority. That day, he understood authority and understood his position in it. And so I believe marriage speaks so much. And girls, how we respond in our homes to what our husband says is humongous to God. So do as much as he loves us, we have to respect and back them. Okay? That was just for free a little bit. I don't know if that helped you. In this union of marriage, God is setting a lot of examples for us. And so in marriage, we need to understand a few things. So today we're going to learn about what God thinks about marriage and the union of marriage. Number one, marriage is a sanctified union. A lot of times we hear that word sanctified and we're like, this is a very churchy, like, kind of word. What does that word even mean? The word sanctified means set apart. Woo, I love that. It also means the finished work of Christ. That means that your marriage represents the finished work of Jesus Christ. Whoa, you did not realize there was so much on your marriage, did you? But people are watching how you do marriage. People are seeing how you love your husband. People are seeing how you are responding to each other and where you're coming and admonishing him instead of tearing him down. People are watching. And God has sanctified marriage. The world has unsanctified marriage. They have redefined it. They have said the things that this is what marriage is, and they're defining it because of why? Their feelings. Because love is love. Well, love isn't love. Love is God. God is love. And if we do love, we have to do it God's way. God created marriage. We talked about this before. In the very beginning between Adam and Eve, he started the Bible with marriage. And guess what, girls? He ends it with marriage between the church and Jesus coming back for his bride. Isn't that beautiful? He started it with marriage and he's ending it with marriage. I think marriage is important to God then. And that sanctification in marriage is a beautiful thing. When we say yes to each other, when you stand before a minister and before God and you say yes to each other, there is something that happens in the supernatural realm. When you go to your honeymoon and you have sex and two become one, your spirits are joined. That's why God says, do not have sex before marriage, because it's not just about having sex. There's actually something supernatural that happens. And then what's supposed to happen is if you're a virgin, you bleed and there's a bloodshed, and that represents Jesus's blood on the cross for us. You see the beauty of this? Everything speaks. And God is saying, this is so holy. It's so set apart by me. It's something I created. It's something I've joined together. And when you say yes, your yes needs to be yes and your no needs to be no. So before you step in that altar and you say, oh, well, we'll try it. Don't try marriage, girls. I've had so many young people tell me that. We're trying it. You don't try marriage. You do marriage for the rest of your life through the good and the bad, and you work through it. So you better make sure who you know who you're marrying. You better make sure what his values and his qualities are. You better know that you heard from the voice of God that he is the one. Seek the face of God for all you single girls. Make sure that God guards your heart for the ones that are wrong, the ones that aren't right for you. But seek God and ask him to bring the right one along, and that your heart will just come undone and you will just know. You see, God has a plan because it's so important to him. Sanctification in marriage is when a man and a woman are set apart for each other. I believe that God does this and he ordains it, and it's a beautiful thing. And when we come and join ourselves together as one, God recognizes this as a covenant and a commitment before him. So you're not in this marriage alone. Those that have gotten married in a, I've had so many people say, we got married, you know, down at the Hall of Records, but we want to get married at church before God with a minister. And we've remarried them before God because they realize that was a piece that we didn't bring into our marriage, but we want to now. And we can always do that for you. So you just call the front desk. But there are things that are holy about marriage. God ordained it. He set it up. It's his idea. In John 17, 14, 19, it says, I have given them the word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Listen, your marriage is not going to look like what you see on Real Housewives. Because don't act like you don't watch it, because I know you do. The Bachelorette, who's setting everybody up for adultery. Right? Crazy. This is not reality, guys. We're playing with sin in these situations. You're setting yourself up for foolishness. It says, you are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of this world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. This is Jesus. Keep them. Verse 16, they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. That means we are like him, girls. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That means he is saying sanctify them. Set them apart by what? By the word of God, which is truth. That means when I am sanctified, when my marriage is sanctified and it is grounded in this, then nothing can rip that thing apart because I have a promise from God that he's going to keep us from the evil one. That when the devil looks like he's knocking on that door of my marriage, I can say, oh no, I'm set apart. This marriage is ordained by God and I'm going to hold on to what God has. You see, verse 18, it says, and you sent me into the world, and I also have sent you into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. Woo! Jesus sanctified himself, that they may also be sanctified in the truth. He knew what he was doing when he went to that cross and laid his life down for us. He knew that we needed him. He knew we couldn't do this on our own. He knew that we would fail and we would fall. He knew. And he said, but I'm going to give them now. I'm going to give them redemption. I'm going to show grace. I'm sending love their way. That's what God did so that we could be set apart and sanctified in our marriages, in our lives, in our everyday as a saint. If you're single in this room, you are a saint of the Most High God. You are a woman called and ordained by God, and he has got your back, and he has that right man on your team. He's just prepping him right now, so start praying for him. Start praying for his heart because God believes in the union and the sanctification of marriage. Hebrews 2:11 says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified. I'm being sanctified. How about you? Every day, I am not perfect. I make so many mistakes. I screw up all the time. But thank the Lord that he is grace comes and helps me out and forgives me and gets me back up on my feet and helps me to continue on. We're being sanctified and perfected in who he is. We are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Even though we screw up, he still wants to be connected to us. Even though we mess up in our marriages, guess what? You're still connected to your husband. God didn't forsake us. Don't forsake them in their hard times. How about you start hitting your knees a little bit more? How about you start asking God for some damage control? Lord, help me to see what you see because I don't see it. Help me to love how you love because I want to hate right now. You can pray those crazy prayers. I know many people that have prayed it. And then there's been times that God has released them from that marriage because it has been so wrong and so ungodly. Or the person has left them and then they can divorce. God does recognize divorce. But if you are in this marriage and there's not those things, those terms that are going on, you're at each other all the time. There's not unity. There's not love. There's not that sanctification that's working in your marriage where there's forgiveness and you're set apart for each other and you're working things out. Then maybe it is time for you to begin to work some things out with God first. Because God has set you apart. And I know that when God sets us apart, guess what he does? He has our attention and we can listen to the one bending down and telling us how to do what we need to do. Just as Pastor Dan heard about our kid, you can hear about your husband. God's not a respecter of persons. He's waiting to speak into your marriage. He's waiting to speak into your life. God has set your marriage apart to be an example to others. We are all one. When two people come together, we talked about this, they become one flesh. Matthew 19:5 says, and for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother. I always wonder, like, why did you say a man and not a woman? Right? Because you, what's that saying? You lose your sons, but you keep your daughters. I'm like, I have two sons. That's not cool, God. So the reality is though, that the man is to leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. And they are to create a new family. So, mama, I know you've been your son's woman in his life, but maybe you need to let go and let God. Because God has a plan for him too, and you will always be his mama, but somebody's got to be his wife. Because you're not his helpmate. You're your husband's helpmate. Your son will need his own helpmate. Sorry, that was for free too. All right. Because we're going to get into parenting too after this. Okay. And they all shall become one flesh. God believes in marriage. What does God think about marriage? Number two, marriage requires sacrifice. Woo! You can't just be sturdy. You can't be steady in your own way. Like, I ain't budging. If he does this, and I'm going to do that. Like, well, only if he does it. You cannot put terms on things like that. It is a self-sacrifice in marriage. That means when it's uncomfortable and you aren't okay with it, but you trust the man of God that he is, that you walk it out and you say, okay, this is not easy, but I'm going to do it anyways. And then you trust God in that. You don't always have to trust everything man does, but you can trust the God in the man. And that's what you need to ask God to begin to show you in your marriage. Because God believes in marriage. I can't say this enough. But it requires sacrifice. Let's see it in Ephesians 5, 28 through 29. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Ephesians 5:25 says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. He gave up his life for her. When I was preaching 2 weeks ago, one of the verses said in Ephesians earlier on that he is to sacrifice so that she can grow. Whoo, that's a big job for a guy, right? Like, they really have to sacrifice. But God is asking us as well to sacrifice. Sacrifice our anger, sacrifice our unforgiveness, put it at the throne room, ask God to intervene. Sacrifice maybe our wants and our desires for the benefit of the family, benefit of our marriage. Maybe go the extra mile sometimes, girls. That might be hard for you. You're like, I don't want to go nowhere with that guy. Well, you know, maybe you need to. Maybe you need to just give a little bit. You've been like caged up in a prison, like not letting him in. And God is saying, don't withhold yourself from this marriage. See, God anoints marriage. God is on the side of man laying his life down, but I believe God wants us as women as well to lay our lives down for Christ and to give everything for who he is. And that means that I gotta give it my all in marriage as well, because it's a beautiful picture of heaven and Jesus. We do as Christ does, right? We are little Jesus walking around telling people how much. You know, we could talk to someone. I was talking to my friend, and she is a teacher in a rough school. She got some foster kids this year, and she's just telling me that, like, she knows this is her ministry this year. There are some really broken places that these kids are at. And I thought, wow, you're totally on assignment. What a beautiful story that God gets to use you in. And I believe that, what if your assignment is to love your husband and we're missing it? What if we put everything else in our role? We get busy with the kids and the kids come before him. Our job becomes before him. Everything becomes before our husband, and we've not really sacrificed anything for him. We, you know, but I have to. If I don't do that, then he won't do it, and nobody does it. Yeah, but how much attention and time have you given to him? Just one-on-one. We expect it from them, but are we doing it ourselves? And I'm not asking these questions to put guilt on us, but I am asking it to stir us, to think, what could I do today? I want you to go home today if you're married, and I want you to think of something that you could do for him. It doesn't have to be crazy. It might just be simple. Maybe make him a simple meal, because you haven't made dinner in a really long time. And you're like, he would probably think, what is happening? I don't know what's going on. We're not ordering out. Like, maybe that's the first step, right? Maybe you know what his favorite candy is and you know what his favorite coffee drink is. Pastor Michelle, you'll make it this week, okay? You'll make the coffee. And you have it ready for him. Maybe you celebrate dad today with the family. Celebrate who he is. You're going, it's not Father's Day, but what if we just celebrated them when it wasn't a holiday? Just because you're awesome. just because I really want you to know how much I appreciate you. Those words of encouragement go 10 times further than anything else. You know that when he tells you, you look beautiful, you're like, really? Thank you. It does something to our hearts. It softens those hard places. It softens those things. And when the devil has come in to try and steal our marriage, we combat it with sacrifice and love. You see, God did it for us. We can do it for our marriage. Hebrews 10:10 says, but by that we have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. See, Jesus did it. He died for it. It is a done deal. You said, yes, you're in a covenant. You are now married. It is a done deal. So come on, girlfriend, do something special. Sacrifice for your marriage. Do what it takes. Michelle and Richard are sacrificing right now. They could go out and spend, but they know that this is where they agreed. They came together. They agreed on something. And they said, this is the month that we're not going to go spend money. They did that together. That's a sacrifice. But you know what that is also? That's a team thing. They've got to be accountable to each other. They got to be like on the same team. One can't be off at Starbucks silently, like getting a drink and not telling the other one, right? Like that would be not honesty. That's not sacrifice. That is not a place that is worthy of calling a team. You are a team with your marriage. God knew that he was creating something supernatural. God wants to be a team with us here on this earth. God needs us to be used by him, that we are his voice, we are his hands, we are his feet. But listen, when you go out, you represent your family. One thing that I love about the Asian culture, I lived next to a Vietnamese family. And they were like, well, we can't do this because it would bring dishonor to the family name. They would tell me things like that all the time. And I was like, wow, that's like something we've lost here in America. They're honored nowhere. Like, you know, like everybody just does whatever they want. And they don't care how that makes the family look. But listen, we can't live like that. We are Christians. Our marriage represents Christ to the world that is so broken and lost and devastated and thinks that there is no hope. But yet our marriage is going to be a beautiful picture of a ray of hope that says, what's going on over there? They got something that I don't have. And you see, we represent our family. You represent Jesus Christ. You represent God. When you single girls, you keep yourself holy and pure. You're sacrificing. You are abstaining from sex. That is a sacrifice because your natural body is saying, oh yeah, baby, I'm ready to go. But you're not going there. And let me say why. Because you love God. You're sacrificing that. You're laying that down and you're saying, I love you more than how I feel. Because my feelings cannot control me. I have to go according to what God is asking and requiring of me. You see, marriage teaches us so many different things, doesn't it? It's a beautiful picture of what God's saying. He's saying sacrifice. The husband is to lay down his life for his wife just as Christ laid down his life for the church. There's a story that I wanted to read you. There was a prince and his family, and they were captured by an evil enemy king. He was brought before the king as a prisoner, and he is asked, what will you give me if I release you? Half of my wealth, the man said. And if I release your children, everything I possess, the prince said. And if I release your wife, your majesty, for her I would give myself, said the prince. The king was so moved by the prince's devotion to his family that he freed them all. As they returned home, the prince said to his wife, wasn't the king a handsome man? And with a deep look of love for her husband, she said to him, I didn't even notice. I couldn't keep my eyes off the one who was willing to give himself for my sake. What a beautiful story that when someone better looking comes in, that you're not just drifting off, checking out someone else, but you're so in love with your husband that it doesn't matter if they got muscles or if they got all those things. I've heard girls talking lately and they're like, oh, Jesus spent a little extra time on that one. Listen, no. It's funny, but it's like, when you're married, Jesus spent extra time on your husband just for you. And you need to ask God to give you eyes for him if you're drifting. You need to not be looking at porn on TV, girls, or on your phones. You need to quit checking things out you shouldn't be checking out. Unfollow people on Instagram that you shouldn't be following. You need to begin to clean up your world because it's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some devotion to be married. Listen to me, it is hard work, and no one is willing to put in the hard work, but it is worth it in the end. Marriage is hard work, and it takes sacrifice, but it's worth it in the end. God gave his whole life for us, but it's worth it because now we have an approach, and we get to go to heaven. So listen, do your part. Do your part in your marriage. us to do. Number three, marriage. What God is saying about marriage. God says that marriage is pure in his eyes. Marriage is pure in his eyes. What goes on in marriage goes on in marriage. I'm like, are any of my kids in here right now? Because I'm going to tell a story. Okay. Because my mom used to tell stories and I'd be sitting on the front row like, oh my gosh. Traumatized. But Dan and I were together and we were just having some time together, enjoying ourselves. And I had this flashback of like when I was a sinner, not with a guy, but just like thinking, I had those feelings of like, oh, I know that wasn't right. Like, you know, you do get convicted when you were wrong. And I was a sinner in the past, girls. I was a hot mess. And then I married a virgin man. And I was like, this poor guy. Like, I'm so screwed up, and yet he is so wonderful. And so for 18 years, we have been doing marriage and doing it God's way, and it's been beautiful, and we did it the right way until we got married. We did not have sex before we got married. Even though I screwed up before that, God forgave me, he restored me, and on our honeymoon night, I even bled. I know that might be way too much information, but I asked the Lord to heal me completely. I did, because I just wanted to be renewed. I wanted to have that moment, and I believed that Dan deserved that. And so God anointed that, and he blessed that. And so I had this flashback of how I have felt, and I said to Dan, oh man, it's so good to be in love and to do it God's way, because there's none of those horrible feelings that you get afterwards, like you're dirty and you don't know how to get rid of it. There's none of that sin weighing on you, because you know why? In marriage, it's pure. In marriage, it's ordained by God. God created sex. He's not saying don't do it. He's just saying do it the way he said. He's saying do it God's way. God talks about sex a lot. Go ahead and count how many times he talks about it in the Bible. See, God says marriage is pure. Ephesians 26 through 9, that he might sanctify, let's talk about this, and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to her himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle and such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish, a cleansing and a washing away. God cleansed me and he washed away my sin before Dan and I came together on our honeymoon night. Isn't that a beautiful testimony of what God can do? You see, God loves us. He believes in what he says in his word. And so if you're sitting in here feeling guilt and shame because you're living a lifestyle that you're like, I got to get away from this lifestyle. I want to do this the right way this time. And if you screw up in that, I want you to know that you can approach the throne room of God and that his love and his grace will come and he will heal your heart. He will walk you through the redemption process. And that way, next time that presents itself to you, guess what happens? It's detestable to you. You're like, oh, I don't want that. I used to, when I got saved and when I got right, I used to have dreams like that I was gonna like enter into like bad things with people. And I would wake up like, no! It was like a nightmare to me because I never wanted to be separated from God again. You see, God restores all things back. He makes them pure and holy. He presents us as the church spotless and blameless without wrinkle. Beautiful. Isn't that beautiful how he does that? Dan didn't judge me on that day. Dan loved me. God told him, she might not be what you thought you wanted, because he wanted to marry a virgin. But I've called you to love her. And then God said, show me how then. Dan said, show me how. And he said, I'm going to wash her clean, because what you will have in your marriage will be pure. And it has been. It's been pure, undefiled. It's a beautiful thing. It's we love each other. We enjoy each other. Our kids probably hate it way too much, but I don't care. They need to see something healthy because the world is giving them a whole bunch of unhealthy. And they need to see dad love on mom, and they need to see him kiss me. They need to see us, you know, make out. Well, we don't really make out that much because that's kind of weird in front of them. But we do call them the blockers. And so we're like, the blockers are home. Everybody's home, you know. So like, you got to get creative, girlfriend. And so you got to do those things. But marriage is pure. There are special things that God puts between a man and a woman. And I want my kids to know that that is special and it's holy. Titus 3, 5 through 6. Not by works of the righteous, which we have done and accordingly, but to the mercy he has saved us through the washing and the regeneration of renewing the Holy Spirit, whom he has poured out upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Woo! We have been washed. We have been cleansed. If you said yes to Jesus and no to hell, if you asked Jesus to come in your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, I'm here to tell you, you are washed and you are cleansed. And when you enter into a marriage, in a courtship, and you walk the way that God has asked you to walk, that marriage is pure, undefiled, and holy, and that's how God sees it. There was an example of Dr. V and us were talking last week, and I'm like, I'm going to use it. Because I thought what she said was, I just got the picture in my head. It was such a beautiful picture. And she said that, think about it this way. You have a cup, and you cut the bottom of the cup off, and you put it in a stream, and it's sitting between two rocks. And the stream just keeps flowing through that cup. It just continues washing and continues washing all the bacteria away. Everything that would get stuck in that cup, it just keeps washing away. It keeps washing away. And when you are in a marriage that is, and you're ordained and you're married by God, God's way, doing it God's way, that God recognizes your marriage and that it's a washing away. There's a purity that comes in. The devil's going to try and bring in all the impurities in your marriage. He's going to try and bring in those addictions. He's going to try and bring in other people. He's going to try and bring in fighting. He's going to try and bring dissension. He will try. But when you stay close to the word of God, when you know who your king is and you keep him in the middle of your marriage, then he washes away all those impurities. It's a constant flow of Jesus Christ flowing through your marriage. Don't step away from the house of God. Don't walk away from sitting in church together. Do not do it, because when you do, you are opening a door for the enemy to come in and creep in and get in and get into the middle of that marriage. You need the continual flowing and washing of the word of God in your marriage that will bring a purity to who God is. I love that. Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? That the word is near you and in your mouth, that it is in your heart. The word of God is the rhema, the logos. Pastor Dan preached about this, I think it was this weekend. The rhema, the logos, listen, to all things, God is pure. He is pure, he is holy, he is just. You can go get a word. Don't go get your advice from your girlfriend who hasn't been married, number one. Like, love you, but thanks, no thanks. You don't know. You know, don't go get your advice from Oprah. That woman has never been married. My favorite was when I used to watch her, I'm like, what do you know? Like, you have not lived marriage. You've just lived with someone, and I don't want to live like you, so I'm not looking at you. Go find someone who's done this right. I'm looking at Joelle's mom, beautiful, beautiful woman of God. She just laid her husband to rest. He's dancing on streets of gold this week. And you've been married 58 years, am I right? 58 years. They served God together. They did this well. I want to learn from you. I want to sit at your feet. I want you to tell me what to do when Dan bugs me. And I want you to tell me what you did. You know, I want to hear from Luis, 77 years of marriage and serving God and doing it well. You see, find someone that's doing it right and go hear from them, because the word of God is going to come up out of these ladies. I'll tell you that right now. They're going to speak the word. And if I could say anything, am I right that it was the word that kept you? It was the word that blessed your marriage. It was the word that anchored your marriage. Am I right or wrong? The word of God is right, and it's true, and it's pure, and you have to press in. You have to allow that to flow in your marriage, because that's what God says. Number four, marriage, guess what, is holy. Marriage is holy. We've stopped talking about holiness. We've stopped talking about these things because everybody feels bad about themselves when we do. But guess what? I'm here to say, we got to get off our feelings. And we've got to get into what God says. If I went by how I feel every day, I'd be a hot mess, depressed, broken down, busted, and disgusted. I'm telling you right now, because your thoughts can take you places that are not real. Everyone has something to say about who you are. But yet, what does God say about you? What does God say about your marriage? What does God say? God says our marriages are holy. So that means untouchable by the enemy. That means set apart. That means, this is what holy means. It says devoted to God, intended with quality, and attributed to God. It is often presented in a way which involves the divine and demands upon the conduct of a believer. I want the divine to be in my marriage. I want the divine to pour out in my marriage. I want God on my side. That when the devil comes a knocking, hey, I'm going to like make you guys hate each other right now. I'm going to bring a dissension in your family. We say, oh no, this is holy. You don't get to walk on this ground. You don't get to cross these doors. You don't get to be in this space because what we have is holy. It is set apart. It is consecrated before God. And I believe that God loves marriage and he loves his saints. You are a saint of the Most High God. And God says that you carry holiness everywhere you go. When you said yes to Jesus, you said, I'm going to step into what's holy. That means we're learning what is holy then. God says marriage is holy. When the world says, well, this is what marriage looks like, and this is it, they can make all the laws they want, they can make all the rules they want, but God does not recognize it. And I want to do what God recognizes. God recognizes marriage between man and a woman, and it's holy. It's holy. There's something you can't redefine what God says. Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present himself to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle nor such thing, but she should be holy and without blemish. I think about us coming that day, meeting Jesus for the first time, wrapped in beautiful white clothing that's like flowing in the wind. And God saying, come to me. Well done. Good and faithful servant. You see, blameless and spotless. We couldn't do it ourselves. He did it for us. Holy. God wants us to be holy. Revelation 19:7 says, let it be. I love this about Jesus and the church. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared himself or herself for him. Listen, have you been preparing for the coming back of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because there needs to be an urgency set on the inside of us to understand that he is on his way back. Just turn the news on. Every country is killing each other. Everything is falling apart. The rules and the regulations of this world are so tainted and twisted that they don't even make sense. What is good is bad, and what is bad is good. What is wrong is right, and what is right is wrong. But girls, instead of looking to those things, we have to look to this. We have to prepare ourselves as the bride of Christ. We have to be ready for the time that he's coming back. And then our marriage, we have to be ready and prepared and on point, because the devil's going to come and try and swipe your marriage from you. I'm a mom of kids, and I just keep thinking of Dora the Explorer. What, swiper, no swiping. Like, you don't get to come and steal my marriage. You don't get to come and take this, because this is holy. And I am walking in a holy marriage. When we treat our spouse with commitment to a marriage, guess what? You're holy. When you've done your part in marriage, when you choose to pray those hard prayers that you don't want to pray, that's holy. When you choose to walk in love, when you want to lash out, you're being holy. When you choose to exalt and just encourage and strengthen and build up and edify your husband, guess what? That's holy. That's what God needs us to do. When we choose to respect our husband's decisions and walk in submission to what it is he's asking of us, guess what that is? That's holy. You see, when our husband lays down his life for us and gives of himself so that we can have everything we need, guess what that is to heaven? Holy. It's a beautiful thing, marriage. God's plan is in it because it's a picture, it's a parallel of us and Jesus. And so, girls, don't underestimate your marriage and the power of it. Ecclesiastes 4:11-13, likewise, two people lying together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. There's even a better, for the triple braided cord is not easily broken. When you stand with your husband and you put Jesus right in the center of your marriage, that's holy. And a three-cord strand cannot be broken. You keep Jesus in the center of your marriage, and your marriage will be holy. It will be blessed. God will touch it. He will heal all those broken places. He will restore back everything the enemy has taken. And I just want you to know, I'm looking around this room, and I know some of your stories, and I've seen God do it on your behalf. And what he's done for one person, he will do it for another. I'm telling you, God is on your side. He believes in marriage. He wants that union to be holy and restored. So it's not too far gone for what God can do. If you're sitting here going, I just want a good marriage. I want a godly man. Well, then guess what? He's on his way because God wants you to step into something holy. He's ordained it that way. So start praying for it. Start believing. Call him in, girlfriend, and say, in the name of Jesus, God, bring my husband to church so that he will come and be in the house of God. He will serve you and I will fall in love with the man of God in him before I fall in love with him. You see, it's holy. It's holy. Not having spot nor wrinkle. The devil cannot take it from you because it's holy. Ephesians 5, 26 through 29. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing. But that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. What we need to know about marriage is, number one, marriage is a sanctified union. Marriage requires some sacrifice. And marriage is pure in God's eyes. And marriage is holy. Did you get something from the word today? Awesome. Ooh, marriage.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.